Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of the Road to Revolution podcast, my journey with Linkin Park. We're in the home stretch here, guys. You know, this is the second to last episode of the main Linkin Park story. And then we'll do the side projects and the and then every concert, because this has been a fun show. And obviously, I've been doing a lot more of it lately, which has been nice getting back into it, because I love telling these stories. I feel like I've told a lot of them so many times to so many people. So recording it so I could put it out there for everyone to listen to, it's just been a really fun experience. As I mentioned on the last week or 2 weeks ago episodes, these last two might be a little rough emotionally, or I might be fine talking about it. I honestly don't know. I know the last few episodes have gotten a bit more heavy to, on my end at least. Maybe not listening, you know, you may not feel the same things I feel about the stories and everything. Obviously, they're my stories, so I'm going to feel more emotional attachment to them than most people listening. But you know, we're in the home stretch of these Linkin Park ones, and today's episode is you know, it's bittersweet. This one's about Linkin Park playing at Summerfest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Marcus Amphitheater in June of 2015, June 30th. This would mark the last time I ever saw Chester. And coincidentally, I did not plan this release this way. But you know, as you've noticed, if you listen week to week with the show as it comes out, I release them every Monday. I just my favorite podcast, my brother and me, they are a Monday podcast, and I always loved the, you know, waking up on Monday morning, getting ready for work, and then getting in my car and on my way into work, start listening to that, or I'll start listening to Hollywood Babylon, which also releases on Mondays usually. So, you know, I like the idea of a Monday podcast, especially if you're a weekly show. It's a nice little kickoff to your week if you're a Monday through Friday person, such as myself. Well, used to be. I don't even know what a Monday through Friday is anymore, because work from home has made days feel obsolete. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, so I picked Mondays just to be the day, because I from the podcast I listen to, the ones that drop on Monday, it's a nice little, you know, jump start to the week. And if, you know, it's a nice way to kick things off, especially if you're slumping in from Saturday and Sunday and you're not ready to go back to work. It's nice to get in the car and, you know, listen to, you know, your virtual podcast friends talk to you. Which is how I feel podcasts are. It's always, especially stuff like My Brother and Me. I don't know if you've ever listened to that show. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. Very, very funny show. It's three brothers, as you could imagine from the title, the McElroy brothers. And a lot of times it feels like you're on their talk show, or their, you know, you're a guest on their podcast, and you're just listening in. And there's sometimes where you want to jump in and respond to things they're saying. And you can't, because, you know, it's a recorded show. But I always liked that. That's how I always felt about certain shows. It feels like you're listening to your friends talk, especially when you listen to it for so long. You know, you get that connection with the show, and you feel like you know them, and you don't know them. I mean, unless you do, you know, some people do, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just that I feel like with podcasts, especially because you spend so much time with it. It's not like a TV show or a movie where you watch a couple of seasons and then it's over. Or you watch the movie and 2 hours later, then it's over. With, you know, podcasts, it's especially ones that go on weekly and there's no set story they're telling. You know, they can go on for years. My brother and me, I think have been going for 10 years now or so. So, you know, when you listen to that show for a long time, you start to, you know, feel that connection with the show, and you're like, yeah, this is great. This is really nice. I like starting my week with them. So sorry, side tangent about picking Mondays and podcasts feeling like virtual friends. Anyway, back to the task at hand. But anyway, all that is why I picked Mondays, just because I like starting the week that way. So I didn't realize that the anniversary of Chester's passing, which this year is the third anniversary, was on a Monday. I didn't know until I was drafting my show notes, and I realized, wow, okay. Because the way I have my notes set up is I have a release day and then I have the show day. And, you know, I was looking at the dates and I saw that, you know, July 20th was release day. And I, you know, obviously for the past couple of years, that date has a significance now, unfortunately. But I feel like it's good to put this out today. And very fitting, you know, being my last time, having seen Chester was the show that we're going to talk about today. But let's talk about the whole trip, because this was not in my home state, which there have been a couple, many over the course of this series of shows that were not in my home state. I drove all around the country. I flew around the country to see this band, and this was no exception. This was a show that wasn't part of a tour. It was one of the last Linkin Park shows in the United States for this touring cycle. They may have done one or two after this, one-off shows, but they didn't really, you know, that was it. You know, after this, they went in and they started working on One More Light. So, you know, this was kind of a, at the time we thought this was going to be the last one. They ended up doing another show a couple of months later in LA. And then there may have been another one. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, so I saw that they were going to do this. And this was actually announced before or while they were getting ready for the Hunting Party Arena Tour, which we talked about last week. I remember I bought these tickets in the fall because they announced it. And this was one of those shows where I saw the announcement. And before I even realized what city or state it was in, I was like, oh, I have to go. Like, that's a show I've wanted to see for a couple of years now. And I don't know if they're going to fully tour together and come to Florida. So I'm going to pull the trigger and buy these tickets because I just don't know. And I was right because, you know, some friends had said, oh, maybe that's the first show of a summer tour. A lot of bands bring their tour to Summerfest, and it's part of the overall Summerfest in Milwaukee where they do like a couple of weeks of shows at a group of venues there. And a lot of bands will just bring their big tour. So some people were like, oh, you know, maybe they'll do this tour together. But they didn't. So I'm very glad I did it. And the reason that I was so eager to do this was Linkin Park bringing out A Day to Remember to play with them. And at this point, they had played that show at Warped Tour the summer prior to this. And Jeremy from A Day to Remember came out and did A Place for My Head with them. And that was the surprise Warped Tour show they did, where guys from all different Warped Tour bands that were currently on the tour or kind of, you know, significant bands in Warped Tour history would, you know, they came out and did songs with Linkin Park, which was kind of a cool surprise. So ever since that had happened, everyone was like, man, it'd be really cool to see A Day to Remember and Linkin Park tour together. And I would have loved to see that. You know, I'd been a Day to Remember fan for quite a bit before this. So seeing them together would have been really exciting. So when I saw they announced this show, before I realized it was in Milwaukee, I first thought it was a tour announcement. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. I need to see dates. And then I saw it was June 30th of the next year, because I think it was around November when they announced it. So I saw it was June 30th and I was like, all right, well, I you know, it's enough time to plan a trip to Milwaukee. We could swing that. So I bought a ticket. I ended up not being able to find anybody that wanted to take this trip with me, but I wasn't going to let that stop me. Which that's a tip I will give anybody who loves a band or loves going to concerts in general. Never let the lack of somebody to go with you stop you from going. There was a long time when I was younger where I would go to a ton of shows and I would always buy a pair of tickets. And there were so many times I ended up having to eat that other ticket. And, you know, unfortunately, and I hate to admit this part too, there were a lot of times too where I bought two tickets and I couldn't find anybody to go with. And then I just didn't go because I didn't want to go alone. And I started just think, well, why am I going to suffer because other people don't want to make plans? Which isn't to say I didn't have friends. I'm very, very blessed to have a very wonderful group of friends. And now, in present day, in both Florida and New York, and because of working in Disney, I have, you know, a great number of friends around the world too. So this had nothing to do with not having friends, but more about just, you know, some bands only I was into, and I didn't know other people who were into certain bands, or, you know, people couldn't go because of work or school or, you know, whatever things were going on. So I eventually just learned that if I wanted to go to a show or I wanted to go to a movie and I couldn't find somebody to go with, I'm just going to go anyway. And once I ripped that Band-Aid off, man, I feel like I just dove in head first. I don't know if I've talked about this too much, but I am a big data person. I love lists and charts and spreadsheets and all sorts of things like that. And I recently reconfigured my concert spreadsheet. I had a whole spreadsheet of all the concerts I've ever been to, who I went with, the venue, the date, the city and state, what number show it was for me, because I'm still currently sitting at 296 concerts. So in doing that, I went through and I have it configured that will tell me, and there's like a side list off of it that shows me how many times I've gone to shows with certain people. And part of that is I've one in there called, you know, solo or alone. And that one is actually the most of my 296 shows. I've been to 83 or 86 were by myself. And I don't regret that in the least. If I didn't do that, that's either 83 shows I didn't go to, or 83 shows that I spent double the money on and people didn't go with me and I still had two tickets. So, you know, once I got past the idea of going to places and doing things alone like that, it just opened up a whole world of opportunities for me. And I did it for, like I said, movies and concerts and Broadway shows, anything that I wanted to go do. If I couldn't find somebody to go with me, okay, so what? You know, I still get people who say, you know, we go to the movies by yourself. That's so weird. I'm like, why is it weird? You know, what do you do when you go to the movies? You sit there quietly and you watch the movie. That's if you're a good, courteous moviegoer. You know, some people don't. They talk and they're the worst. But yeah, you know, concerts, I guess, are a little different. You know, you get to react a little bit and you talk to them in between bands and you get excited. And I get that. That, you know, I love, some of my favorite concert memories are with people and with my best friends. But, you know, I never let that stop me. I've been to so many of these Linkin Park shows by myself. You know, the San Diego show was by myself. The this show in Milwaukee here was by myself. So, you know, never let that stop you. Go do the things you want to do. And if you can't find people to do it, so what? Do it anyway. But in the overall story of this trip, I didn't just go out there and hang out by myself all day in Milwaukee. I mentioned earlier working in Disney and having friends all around the world. I had a friend of mine that I had met working at Disney. And she lived in Milwaukee. And, we had a lot of super great things in common. Big Marvel fans, big Captain America fans. And I found out that everything was booked and I was going to head out to Milwaukee. And I was only there for less than 24 hours, like round trip, takeoff to landing. I want to say it was like 18 or 19 hours, which is completely wild. A very whirlwind of a trip, but it was amazing. I get out there, I fly out to Milwaukee, land, grab a rental car. My friend meets me at the airport, and then we go off and about, and you know, she shows me this cool comic and collectible shop that has all sorts of classic toys and comics and trading cards and collectibles and all sorts of cool things. Luckily, I got out of there unscathed. I only bought a couple of vintage Tron trading cards, which might be some of the nerdiest things I own, but they're awesome. And then she showed me these great places of I guess Milwaukee is known for its custard and its burgers. So we went to a really good burger place whose name is escaping me. Like I said, this was such a whirlwind trip that I don't remember a ton of the specifics in terms of, you know, the names of places and things, but I do know it was an amazing trip. So we went to the burger place and the burgers were so good. They definitely do that right out there. What's weird is they had custard at this burger place. And I was like, oh, we're just going to get custard here. And my friend's just like, no, that's just not an option. There's so much good custard here. We're not going to settle for here. This place has great burgers, but we're going to go somewhere else. And I said, oh, okay. You live here. You know better than I do. So we head over to this other custard place like 10, 15 minutes away, and we go there, and it's awesome. Like, good. I mean, again, it's, you know, it's the weekend before July 4th, so it's hot, and you know, and the upper Midwest area gets super duper hot. You know, like Chicago and Milwaukee, that area get crazy hot. And they also get like the super freezing summers, winters, not summers, Jesus. So it was very, very ripe outside for ice cream and custard. So it was very welcome to have that. And it was nice to just, you know, spend a day with a friend I hadn't seen in a while. Like I said, we used to work together at the Great Movie Ride in Disney. And, you know, she didn't live in Florida anymore, and she'd moved back home to Milwaukee. So it was nice to spend a day with an old friend. And eventually, you know, she went off on her way home, and I went over to the hotel, just kind of relaxed a little bit, took it easy, because I knew the show was gonna get crazy, you know, between Day to Remember and Linkin Park. And there was another band on that show. I never heard of them before this. They were called People Mover, PPLMVR. Never heard of them, had no idea what to expect, and good Lord, did I not know what to expect. These guys came out looking like Sasquatch Yetis, and they were pretty good from what I remember. I never really went back to listen to them, but they were definitely a good opener, like fun, entertaining. Like I don't know if this was somebody that Linkin Park picked or the label or Summerfest, but it was unique for sure. It was definitely one of the cooler openers I'd seen them with in a while. So back at the hotel, just relaxing a little bit, maybe an hour or two, and then I head over to the venue. I did the LPU early entry again because I still had it from when I got it earlier in the year for the Amway show in Orlando. So, you know, I already have that perk, so I'm going to use it. And plus, with all the travel that day, there's no way I can get to the venue early enough to genuinely get to the front of the line. So that LPU early entry perk is real clutch on stuff like this. So I get to the venue and I get to the LPU line. There's not a ton of people in the LPU line, couple, maybe a handful, which is great, 'cause that means we're going to easily get up to the front row. And, yeah, but you know, doors open, things go very smoothly, no issues, get right up front and, you know, locked in, ready for the show. And, you know, like I said, People Mover comes on, and God, these guys are just weird in the best way possible and very entertaining. And even people who weren't into them at first definitely were into them by the end of it. I don't even know if they're still a band. They might be. They may just have been like local Milwaukee guys. I genuinely don't know. But they were really, really cool. And then up next was A Day to Remember. And I had seen them a bunch before this. I'd seen them, you know, on their own shows and playing with other bands like Rise Against and Of Mice and Men and stuff like that. And they were always such a killer live show. And that, you know, this show is no different. And the one cool thing was I think it was Kevin, their guitarist. I got one of his guitar picks, and on it was a little cartoon of Jay and Silent Bob from the Clerks cartoon, which I was like, man, what a cool like cross section of things I like A Day to Remember and the whole Kevin Smith Buick universe. Like, I love all that stuff. So having those two things come together in a guitar pick that I caught was a cool little bonus. And like I said, Day to Remember killed it. Now up next was Linkin Park, as you can imagine. And I was really hoping they would do A Place for My Head and Jeremy would come out, or Jeremy would come out on anything. I figure if they're on the same show and, you know, he's come out and sang with them before, like, they'll do it for sure. And they didn't. I was kind of bummed about that. You know, I was like, I don't know if they're going to have an opportunity to do that again. And yeah, I don't know. And this is jumping ahead to next week's episode. I did eventually get to see Jeremy do A Place for My Head with the band, but it was at the Chester's tribute show at the Hollywood Bowl. So bittersweet there, you know. I got to see Jeremy do the song, but that tribute show should have never happened, because the reason that tribute show had to happen, you know, should have never happened. So but you know, it is what it is, and that's also stuff we'll talk about on next week's episode. But we're still talking about this one now. The set list was really cool. Not a ton different from the summer tour previously and the Amway Arena show in Orlando on the Hunting Party Tour a couple months earlier. But there was two new little surprises here, because about a couple of weeks or so before this, Mr. Shinoda debuted a new song from Fort Minor. And previously, Fort Minor was typically something that wasn't mixed with Linkin Park. It may have popped up like when he did his, like, you know, throwing in an extra rap verse at the intro to like Points of Authority or something like that. But it was, they never like fully really did a Fort Minor song. You know, in 06, they did these festivals in Japan and overseas, and Mike did double duty where Linkin Park played and Fort Minor played. But that's like the closest they've done to something like this, where Linkin Park did a bunch of their stuff. And then they did Burn It Down. And then they went into like a mini kind of encore or side set that was Mike doing Remember the Name, which was like a shortened version. And then he did Welcome, the new Fort Minor song, which is barely a few weeks old. I think he'd done a show or two in LA or in California before this, like a full Fort Minor show. But other than that, he hadn't done this a lot. So it was kind of cool to hear that song at that point, because it was still very, very new. And a bonus, because he didn't know or think they would do it with Linkin Park. So it was a nice little extra thing to have there. And then, you know, they go through the hits for the rest of it. Numb, In the End, Faint, Waiting for the End, What I've Done. And they close with the perpetual party song closer of Bleed It Out. One other cool thing to note on this one is they did Darker Than Blood, which was a song they had done with a EDM musician or artist. And I cannot remember who his name, Martin Garrix, maybe. You'd think 30 something episodes into this show, I would do more research, but I don't. To be honest, I didn't notice this was in the set. I forgot they did it, and I didn't notice it was in the set until I was looking right above the Fort Minor stuff in the set list. So my bad. But yeah, so they did a shortened version of that. And that was the one kind of like downside to Linkin Park being such a long tenured band and having so many albums at this point, was, you know, you start to get into the conundrum of, do you not play all the hits, or do you start doing a lot of medleys and shortened versions of songs? So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but, you know, it's cool to hear some of these songs, even in their shortened versions. Like, you know, on this show, they did a shortened version of Runaway and Robot Boy. And then Mike did the shortened version of Remember the Name. So it's, you know, like I said, double-edged sword. Cool that they're doing them, but, you know, you almost wish, you're like, well, you have so many other songs. Like, you could do other full songs and songs you haven't done in a while. You know, maybe take two of the shortened ones out and do a full Place for My Head with Jeremy or something like that. I don't know. But I'm not the band's manager or am in the band, so I don't get a say about that. But yeah, so that was that whole show. Afterwards, you know, show was pretty uneventful. You know, Chester pointed me out, came down and said hi. I don't remember if it was during the show or after the show, but, you know, always nice to have that happen. And then afterwards, just went back to the hotel, took a nap for a few hours because I had to wake up ungodly early to get to the airport to fly back to Orlando in my less than 24-hour trip. So, you know, all in all, it was a great, great quick trip, very, very fun. Definitely the most whirlwind Linkin Park experience I've ever had. You know, cause it's one thing when I lived in the Northeast to drive a couple hours in any direction and be able to go to a show, but to just hop on a plane and in 2 hours be in Milwaukee, you know, hang out with a friend, go get lunch, go to a couple cool stores, go to the show, you know, get back to the hotel, sleep, and then be back in the next morning before 24 hours is even up is just completely wild. But this was such a great memory. I loved this show. It was so much fun. I got to see them with a band I always wanted to see them with. And, you know, in hindsight, it's so easy to say, you know, I wish, you know, I knew that would be the last time that I saw Chester, because, you know, you would have tried to say something and you just can't do that. You know, you end up in this endless loop of, you know, what would I have said? And, you know, maybe things would be different. And I, you know, you just can't think like that, unfortunately. But you know, it's a great last memory to have of seeing him. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot else to say on it. You know, today, if you're listening on the day we're releasing this, this is, like I said, the third anniversary. I just hope he really can see now how loved and how missed he is, because there's and I'm sure there's a lot of people around the world who have this same feeling, but there's a hole now that's I don't know if it'll ever be filled. You know, when you're a fan of a band like this and it becomes such a big part of your life, and you travel and you try to even set your schedule around the year based on if they're touring, and I can't go do that because these guys are coming around, I gotta go see them, or you know, I gotta go see them in another state. It becomes this big deal, and to not have that anymore, and it hits a little more every year, because the longest they ever went before this without touring or putting out a new album was between Meteora and Minutes to Midnight. It was 3 years, pretty much, 2.5, 3 years. And I think that was about the same gap between, Minutes to Midnight and 1,000 Suns. But, you know, it's starting to hit more now on the third year, anniversary of it, because, you know, we're getting into the territory where that announcement's not going to come. And even if they do say, hey, you know, we're still a band and we're still touring, you know, it's not going to be the same. And I'll go, I'll happily go. I would love so much to see them again. But it's, you know, it would be tough if they went without him. But no, you know, some Linkin Park is better than no Linkin Park. But it's just going to be really hard, you know. And it still is hard, you know, even 3 years later, knowing that, you know, the announcement that, hey, we have a new song, and you get to hear the whole band with Chester again, unless there's stuff they have that they haven't released, which they very well could. And I just don't know if they ever will. You know, it's just, it's hard. I have a hard time explaining that to people, because, you know, I think this is how everybody feels about their favorite band, and some people, I guess, just don't get that. They're like, no, I listen to the music and then that's it, you know. And I don't know, this was just such a bigger experience to me. I don't know, between playing with them and the traveling and seeing them all around the country, and I don't know, I feel like I gotta cut myself off before I start crying. But I feel like it's a good place to stop this week, just because next week we're going to have a lot more to talk about. It's going to be a long one next week. Like, this was one show. Now, granted, it was the last time seeing Chester, but this show is going to be about 30 minutes, give or take. Next week, we're talking about the whole thing, the whole trip, you know, the whole time being in California, the whole show. And we're going to talk about everybody who came out to do that show, which was a lot. They did a 3-hour set, and tons of people came out, and singers, drummers, DJs, guitarists, full bands. Like, there was so many people on that show. So it was amazing. But you know, as I said before, that show should have never had to have happened. So we'll talk about that show next week, and it'll be fun. I'm sure I'll end up crying, because I always think about the very beginning of that show. And then, it was a couple of months after he had passed, but I think about the very beginning of that show when they started playing like their intro music, it started to hit me even more. And then just the whole thing came in waves throughout the show. You know, you'd go through, hey, this is fun. And then, you know, you look and you remember he's not there, and it's hard. We'll talk about that all next week. One thing I'll say with today, the release day of this episode being the 3 years of Chester's passing, just look out for each other. If you notice someone in your life, or even someone you know in passing, if you notice someone struggling, or if they're having trouble, I'm not going to pretend I know what to do or say to help, but you know, just reach out, try, you know, say, just talk to them. You know, it can't hurt. So I don't know, just trying to get a good message out there. Try to help, you know, the world's kind of weird and awful right now. So, you know, just be good to each other, help your friends and family out if they need it. And, you know, just be kind. That's the biggest thing. That's going to do it for this week. I thank you so much for listening. Next week, like I said, we're talking about the Hollywood Bowl show, which is officially titled The Longest Concert Title in History, Linkin Park and Friends Celebrate Life in Honor of Chester Bennington. That's the show we're going to talk about next week. But until then, I once again, thank you so much for listening. Even if nobody listens, it's a nice way to, you know, just get my feelings out there about it. So if you do listen, I thank you and I love you and I appreciate you. And if nobody's listening, well, nobody's listening. So there's that. That's it. Until next week, have a great week. This has been My Road to Revolution.